Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor in the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, and on Android. Check us out on Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, plenty of Dolphins content going up on that channel as they begin their season. And the Hurricanes, big win over the Gators. Make sure that you're following our friends over at Six Rings Canes. Also, check out our Discord server, $2.99 per month. There you get the host updates, get information before you get it anywhere else. Also, you can chat with other Heat fans all day long. Get away from the noise of Twitter, all the politics and all that stuff. Just talk ball. Join us over on Off the Floor. Link is right here in the description. Also, Prize Picks legal again in the state of Florida, and they got a great new promo. Had a lot of people signing up for this. They're handing you money. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. You'll get $50 to play off a $5 initial investment. That's right. One $5 play, they're handing you $50. Play it on whenever you want. Of course, we got the NFL starting on Thursday. The Dolphins hosting Jacksonville on Sunday. I told you to get in on that Tyreek prop when it was 89.5. Now it's 99.5. Get in there now. PrizePicks.com. Use the code F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Brady Hawk, you can follow Brady Hawk 305. Remember to continue to follow our series. Greg Sylvander and I, we've made it all the way to 32. We may just do the top 400 players in Miami Heat history. Here's the thing. Let me ask this question, because we're up to 32. We got two more episodes to go. I've split it into four players at each one. And there are people angry with us. I can tell you that a prominent Heat official does not understand how we put Haslam ahead of Dragic ahead of Haslam. We got Heat fans angry. We put Hero as high as 16. Others, where is Hassan, like the fifth leading rebounder in team history or something like that? Greg refuses. So I feel like if I'm at number 40, I'm going to have to do that. Or Alex is going to jump in and put Michael Beasley at number 40. But we're going through the entire thing. But at the end of it, we're going to have our guy Sean Rochester, who's sort of a Heat historian himself. He's going to jump on with us to go over his list. He had a lot of pre-Riley guys on there. Like, we haven't put Sherm Douglas on there yet. We're at 32. So anyway, check out the episodes. You can argue with us. But I can tell you the Heat are listening to it. I don't know if that's a good thing or it's not. Today, though, we're going to go to this current team. I'm going to look at Jaime Jaquez a little bit of a different way. He's entering his second season. He was a revelation in his first season. I mean, any guy who's first team all rookie and you draft him as late as they drafted him, you hit. Okay, it's just that simple. You hit. It doesn't matter who you didn't take or whatever. You got a player who for your system worked. But there are a bunch of kind of models, templates in Heat history of rookies. And the question I'm going to ask Alex and Brady is, who will Hawkins most resemble in his second year in terms of his growth and his role? So we're not going to go back quite as far as the pre-Riley days. Okay, so no Steve Smith, no Glenn Rice, again, if you want those guys, you can check out our top 40 episodes. We're going to start with the 2002 draft, which is Caron Butler, Dwayne Wade in 2003, Michael Beasley 2008, Justice Winslow 2015, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo 2017, Tyler Hero 2019. Okay, so we're not going to do Jovic. The jury's too out on that one at this point. We're not going to do Precious, okay? Although I know a lot of you want to relive the Maxi thing. Oh, let me check my mic. We can do this in real time. Better? Yes, probably better. Okay, so we've got six. So I'm going to go through some numbers here from year one to year two, and then you guys can sort of weigh in on who you think this will most resemble based on the way that the Heat team looks and also the way the Hawks look this offseason. Now let's go back to Caron. Rookie season, he averaged 15, 5, and 3. Team was awful. Okay, that was 22. They won like 21 games, 25 games, something along the terrible team. This was basically, you know, they had this transition year the year before where they had a bunch of veterans on one-year deals, and Caron was slipped to them, and he and Eddie Jones were kind of the forefront players on this team, but it was not a good team. The bigs were terrible, and again, they were transitioning to go younger. But again, 15, 5, and 3 his first season. He averaged 37 minutes in the first season because he was the only guy other than Eddie. His minutes went down to 30 in the second season. It was a better team. That was Dwayne was drafted, okay, which we'll get to. Eddie was still there. Brian Grant was healthier, okay, for most of the season anyway. And Lamar Odom came on board. So it was a better team. Caron's role was a little smaller. And he had some injuries, but he went from 15, 5, and 3 to 9, 5, and 2. There was no leap. And even though there was no leap, he had a very productive NBA career that once he left the Heat, he ended up making an all-star team. All right, that's 2002. 2003, they draft Wade. Rookie season, playing out of position at point guard. 16, 4, and 5. Second season, 24, 5, and 7. And all of a sudden, playing with Shaq, he's in MVP conversations. I think he was top 10 in MVP. All right, number three. Let's go to Michael Beasley. Rookie season, 25 minutes a game, 14, 5, and 1. Bees always 3, 1 assist. Second season, up to 30 minutes, 15, 6, and 1. His starts went up from 19 to 78. His numbers were basically the same. Justice Winslow. Rookie season, 28 minutes. Second season went to 35 minutes. As a rookie, he was a core bench player for them on a very good team that would have gone further if Bosch doesn't get sick, maybe, and if Whiteside doesn't get hurt in the playoffs. He went from 6, 5, and 2 as a rookie, in which he made, I think, second team all rookie, to 11, 5, and 4 in his second year, but his shooting dropped from 42% to 36%. So more minutes. Bigger role, worse shooter. Okay. 2017, Bam. Minutes, 19.8, playing behind Whiteside. So basically 20 minutes. He went from 20 minutes to 23 minutes in the second season. Rookie season, 7, 6, and 2. Second season, 9, 7, and 2. Modest increase in minutes, modest improvement, still playing behind Whiteside. And then Tyler Hero. Rookie season. Everybody, all the bubble, all that. 14, 4, and 2. Second season, 15, 5, and 5. All right, off the top. Who will Hawkes least resemble in terms of second-year jump? Alex.
Caron. Because I don't think his numbers are going to go down by that much. And even if I'm not expecting him to go down from his like averages for all of last season. So I'm definitely not expecting it to, you know, go down by that much.
Brady, your thought? Yeah. Also, it's funny because there's a Hawkes Caron comparison, which we've made before. And Caron is the guy who, when he first saw Hawkes get to Summer League, said, I mean, this guy is going to be an all-star type player. Like Haran may be his biggest backer inside the entire Heat organization. So there are some, even in play style, there's comparisons between the two of them. But I'm with you that I don't know that it'll be that much of a drop because I don't think the team's changed that much. Brady, would that be yours?
Yeah, it would. It's funny because they're both the same exact rookie numbers. Like 15, 5, and 3 is also Hawkeye. So it's like it's very mm-hmm. similar. I don't think he would drop. Now, I'll give another name, though, that I think he's not like, and it's probably Justice, just because mm-hmm. I don't think his shooting dips. Yeah. I think you see the shooting go up. Like, I don't see it going in that direction. I think he's improved just a lot of the mechanics. I think the shots that he's going to be getting with this current team, like with the layout of this roster, if they are healthy, his shots are going to be a lot cleaner than they were last year. So I just don't see like a shooting dip like from that you mentioned him, like what was it, 42 to 36. So I would say Justice and Kron are probably the two you'd eliminate early.
All right, well, I'm going to eliminate another one just to be fair here. I mean, it's not going to go up like Dwayne.
No.
Are we right? I mean,
that would be awesome. But I don't think so. I mean,
if it goes up like Dwayne, then you're talking about he's on the marquee here going forward. You know, from 16-4-5 to 24-5-7. Everybody talks about Dwayne in the 2006 finals. The breakout was during the 04-05 season. That was the breakout. So I think just to be fair there, he's not going to be Dwayne. I'm with you on. I'll tell you what. If it turns out to be Kron, they've got a problem. Not that Kron didn't turn out to be a good player, but this team needs Hawkins' scoring more than that second-year team for Kron needed his.
Yeah.
Because, again, you had Dwayne come in, new player, Lamar come in. They were playing kind of a fast and free type style with Stan. They were playing about eight guys consistently. He was letting them play through a lot of mistakes. He was making some mistakes as a rookie head coach, which he acknowledged. And Kron really, and this is one of the reasons we had an issue kind of how to rate Kron on the top 40 was because, you know, I think people remember him because they were so excited about drafting him. He had a really, you know, fun rookie season, you know, they lost a lot, but then he really was not a huge contributor to that 03-04 team except specific games. He had a couple of big playoff games, but really Dwayne, Eddie, who gets forgotten there, Dwayne, Eddie, and Lamar kind of carried while Kron was getting healthy. As far as the Winslow thing, that's the interesting one to me because why do we think that Winslow's shooting fell off a cliff, Alex, when he started getting more reps?
You talked about how he got more minutes in that second season, and without looking, I bet you that means he also got, you know, of course, more 3-point attempts, and he was just flatly, mm-hmm. you know, a very inconsistent shooter. So I think that would be like the case for, you know, and this is not how I feel, but the case for Jaime having a season a year or two like that would be if you don't believe that the shot is going to be better, right? If you think he's just going to kind of be more or less at the same level. So, and if that is the case, if you feel that way, then the case of, you know, more volume, like we kind of expect him to take, and more minutes could lead to, you know, like kind of the cons with 3-point shooting variance is that you could have a, you know, a bad looking percentage, even though he's not a bad shooter. I that's not how I feel. I expect him to have a better 3-point shooting season just because I was really impressed with the way it, you know, how fluid it looked, and you know, the mechanics just looked a lot smoother in summer league. So I feel like that's stuff that can translate outside of just like, you know, babying guys who are just not as big as him, right? Because it has nothing to do with that. It's just about form and mechanics and how he gets to the shot, which is part of what frustrated me a little bit with the shot last year with him, was just some of the times he was taking kind of shots that I didn't feel necessarily were in his bag, you know, things on the move, off balance, you know, the base looks smoother. But other than that, I do think like the only thing that you can point to is like, you know, he is going to have more minutes, right? And he will take more three. So it's basically all about how you feel just about his 3-point shooting and whether or not it's going to be improved.
Well, the other thing about Justice was he couldn't make a layup.
Right? I mean, made the case that was more problematic than him, like, because the spot of threes were never terrible. Like, Justice was just not a great spot of shooter, but like he could hit an open three. But when he got downhill with his size and frame, the ability, like not being able to finish and not really drawing contact, like that's what frustrated me about him, because he was such a good passer for his size too. So it's like he was never fully realized because of that, and of course, like the injury stuff that happened with him.
What do you think? I mean, you weren't part of the Miami Heat Beat Justice Better crew, Brady. But you see any similarity there?
Well, the thing is, like, even if Jaime has a dip in his three-point shooting, he'll never be an overall inefficient player just because of the stuff you just talked about. Like, with the finishing stuff with Justice, like, Jaime is such a good finisher and has such, like, a complete bag inside the arc with the post-up, with the just all those moves in the paint, and he is a good finisher. Like, he'll never be an inefficient player, and he'll never have that total dip. Now, he could have a dip in straight-up three-point shooting. Like, I'm not saying that can't happen. Because there is a possibility he could see a little bit more attempts, even though I think the way they're going to be treating this is like, okay, we figured out we got his baseline the rookie season, and we know what he's good at, and he's going to come off the bench. We're going to play him in the spots that he's probably best at. And yeah, if they're staggering their best players, like with the Tylers and the Duncans and the Terrys, like all these outside shooters, he's probably not going to have to get up a bunch of threes consistently. It's just about like making the defense respect you. I don't think that's really a comp to me. I think their games are so different, obviously, and the numbers itself aren't going to play into that way.
Right. Before we get to the break here, let's go through the others. So there's two guys whose numbers basically stayed the same, Hero and Beasley. And there's circumstances for both of these. In Hero's case, it was coming off the bubble run and a really short break, in which he wasn't the only one who was gassed when that season started. He made marginal improvements, kind of like we've talked about. He's made marginal improvements every year, but he made marginal improvements, but it wasn't enough for some because he saw him pop in the bubble. His percentages were better, by the way. Beasley, I mean, had the starts, but I think more of the flaws started to show, which is why ultimately by the end of that season, that's when, you know, Spo started Haslam in the playoffs, or basically didn't even play Beasley in the second half of that last game in Boston. And that was when Dwayne went to the podium and said, I need help, because Beasley was supposed to be his kind of, you know, forerunner here. And that didn't work. But I think by the end of the second year, you were kind of like, okay, is he going to develop the rest of his game enough? I know Heat fans don't remember this, but they were all over Spo for not playing him enough, not playing him down the stretch. And ultimately he kept going back to Haslam, which the conversations we're going to have this year about some of the young players kept going back to Haslam, and he was right. And then ultimately they moved off of Bees to bring in the big three, because they sort of saw that there wasn't this, upward trajectory of it. There's those two guys. And then there's the one who's, I think, is going to be the most like Hawkins in terms of improvement this year, which is Bam. Because I kind of feel like there's going to be some more opportunities for Hawkins, but he's not going to be able to fully flower until Jimmy's not the main guy anymore. Is that fair? Because I look at Bam's numbers. Now, again, Hawkins did more as a rookie than Bam did statistically and played more minutes than Bam did, was playing behind Whiteside. And you can play Hawkins and Jimmy together. We've seen that. Whereas playing Bam and Whiteside together was a disaster. Okay. But that's who I see. In terms of improvements, like, If you saw the improvement from year one to year two of Hawkins that you saw in Bam, you'd say, okay, we have some, because with Bam, it turned out to be something. Is that fair, Alex?
I mean, I think it's fair because, both guys, started off as bench players, and even though they're rotation players and, from year one, which is not always a guarantee with the Heat, they were still bench players. And I think that's going to be the case. Now, we could be wrong. We don't know who's going to start. But I do think Haka is just going to have more responsibility, more minutes, and a higher usage by a lot than what Bam was doing in those first couple of years, where he was just coming in and kind of just being a screen and roll guy who, of course, could switch onto guards and wings. But we weren't seeing much of what he could do offensively that we know he can do. Whereas Haka is, we got to see that stuff in year one. He had a productive year one. And they were playing him, when he was healthy before the groin injury, like a closer a lot of times, like that type of role where he's just getting that many minutes and sometimes playing over guys who you thought were more established early on, right? So I think it's not apples to apples, but I do see your logic here in that, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a big, big numbers leap if he just, has another good season, more or less, kind of in the range of what he ended up averaging for the full season. But we know the context. Like, we were there for the first half, the second half. We saw the differences before and after the groin injury, and we saw the differences before and after the Terry Rozier trade. So I think like that's what I'm really interested in seeing is how they manage all this, because like this is stuff that we talked about after they acquired Terry, and we talked about it to death, but we just didn't really get to see it much, right? Like all of these guys together, because they have a lot more guys that they can go to if you're just looking at like guys who they can create offense with. So I'm really interested to see how they balance it out. And, you know, if there's going to be a hierarchy, if they're going to commit to more like, a heavy ball movement system and go away from ISOs, I'm interested to see how they go about it, because they have more weapons now. I'm not saying, this is a championship team, but they've got more guys. And so, I think Jaquez is going to be one of the indicators of how they balance it, because he could be one of the guys who's, like you're saying, the numbers just don't go up very much because they've added another guy in Terry. And if you remember, it was also post groin injury, but after they added Terry, his numbers and usage kind of went down. So it was both things, but they need to figure out his role as far as like in the middle of figuring out the balance with all these guys that they're going to try to give the ball to.
Well, the difference too is Caleb's gone. So even though Terry's there, there's more minutes. So would you say, before I go to Brady on this, would you say it's more of a, would the comp be Hero for you then?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good one. Yeah.
Brady, what do you think? Would it be Hero? Would it be, or which one would you identify?
I'd go, so I'm going to cheat the system because I know that this is all in second year players, but to me, like Jaime isn't a player that feels like he's going into his second year. It feels a little bit different. He almost feels to me, just because he is older, like it is a third season. And that's kind of the point he's at, that I'm going to stick with Alex, but not in the same context. It's a bold, but I think it's more Tyler going into his third year, and not in the same context of the numbers. Cause I'm looking at Tyler's numbers that year, 15 to like almost 21 points per game. Like the context of it was, he was going to get a ton of shots up. He had a specific role off the bench, and he had almost a 6 points per game jump. But in the context of what they're going to need from him, the energy that Tyler brought that third year when he won Sixth Man of the Year was one of the big reasons why they were so good that year. And I think just because of his energy and his production, that's why everybody pushes it to this day that they want him off the bench, just because of that season. But I think in some ways they're going to look at Jaime to do some of that stuff. Not the same exact play style, but the stuff off the bench where they feature him. And I know there's a lot more guys, as I was just talking about, like they're going to have to, figure out ways to play all these guys. But just because they say they're going to be healthier doesn't mean they're going to just be completely healthier in the regular season. Like, just because they say it doesn't mean it's going to happen. And Jaime's just a guy that I think if they could feature him off the bench, and let's just say Jimmy is playing more, it allows Jaime to play into his role where he doesn't have to keep filling in. He's in a role now, Ethan, you mentioned, I think Caleb not being here makes it even easier for him because he doesn't have to, have a guy that plays his exact style and plays in his spots. He's a little bit freer now. But just in the context of what Tyler did in that specific season, just being like the ball of energy that came off the bench, that like when he hit the scores table, everybody's the building goes crazy. Jaime's becoming a little bit of a fan favorite, and his energy and the stuff at the rim, the fast break stuff, the dunking, all this stuff combined. And just the fact that he has an absolute bag, that it doesn't have to be everybody else setting things up for him. He can go get his. Like, they can just put him in a spot and he can figure out a way to do it. So I'll say it's kind of similar to that. I'm not saying he's going to get Sixth Man of the Year, but he's going to be in that kind of Sixth Man of the Year type role for Miami. I think they're going to feature him a ton.
I think he's a sneaky Sixth Man candidate if they're going to start Terry and Tyler. Like, if you can bet that on Better Edge, then go ahead and do that.
Well, I went ahead and, I won with Tyler that year. I'll say this, and we probably should make this a separate episode, but for those of you who've made it to the 22-minute mark of this one, I was told this weekend, the Heat, that there are two definite starters. So I just threw that on off the floor because I forgot to mention it before. Everyone else is competing. We're excited to see how it goes. There you go.
I just want to make sure you gave a bloodbath again.
That's what it should be. Well, look, Hero got a starting job that year, remember, he was supposed to be competing with Oladipo, and that competition felt like it was over the first time that there was a quote. And there was, and it was funny because Tyler and Vic, I was there at the Bahamas, they were together all the time in the Bahamas. Like, they had this friendship, but it was like there was supposed to be a competition that never happened. And it appears it's going to happen this time. All right, when we come back from the break, and I'm glad you mentioned the third year thing, because typically the third year is the pop year. typically. So if we're treating Hockey as like he's been in the league a couple of years, then yes, that would be it. I mean, typically, Dwayne was unusual in that it was second year. But here's the other thing. Dwayne was an older rookie, too. Like, people don't talk about that. He was an older rookie than most of the rookies who'd come in at that point. So there is some similarity there. All right. I want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Nelson and his team. They're not rookies to this. If you work in a medical office, hospital, reach out to them, 561-891-9620. That's 561-891-9620. It's Mobile CRM and Staffing Services. They bring the x-ray equipment and the staffing to you. They're also hiring PRN x-ray techs. So if you're one of those, reach out to them through their contact form. Again, Mobile CRM and Staffing Services, 561-891-9620. Check out the website, all their products, and everything they do is right there. Again, it's c-armandstaffing.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
All right, so we were going to look at this, but you guys just jumped on one guy right away. So I'll get to it here. If we're looking at the draft from the year prior, which is the draft that the Heat drafted Jovic, and we didn't include Jovic in this because it's too soon. He kind of had a red shirt year. We figured we'd go with the other six. But I'm going through we're not going to go through all the stats of these guys, okay? And some of these guys, like Chet Holmgren, didn't play his first year because he was injured, etc. But here was the draft prior to Hakez, because I think it's instructive in terms of how much some of these players improved in their second season. Paolo, just off the top, improved, right? Clearly, second season, became an all-star type candidate. Chet was in his first year. Jabari Smith, we saw some improvement in the second year, right, with Houston. Keegan Murray. Let me go through some of the numbers on Keegan Murray here. First year with Sacramento, played 80 games, then 77 games. He went from 12.2 points to 15.2, shot the same, 45%. If you get more volume, but you're shooting the same, and that's good. Even though his three-point shooting went down from 41 to 36. So marginal improvement, still considered a core player there. Jaden Ivey had this sort of weird deal with Detroit on whether he was playing a lot, not playing a lot. But again, he started actually fewer games in the second season. He went the team's still terrible. Went from 16.3 points down to 15.4. Other numbers basically the same. So virtually the same player. Mathurin had injuries in the second season. And so his games went down from 78 to 59. His points went down from 16.7 to 14.5. Shooting percentage stayed about the same. So kind of a wash year in terms of his first and second years. Shaedon Sharpe with Portland. Again, weird situation in Portland since they're working in so many young players. And he got hurt. So he went down, his points per game went up, but he got hurt. So again, kind of a wash year for him, but there was really no significant improvement. Dyson Daniels has already been traded. Actually, Jeremy Sochan playing out of position. Johnny Davis hasn't really popped with Washington. Usami Dieng, that looks like kind of a busted pick there. And then the guy that I think we're going to talk about, because you guys identified him right away, Jalen Williams, picked 12th. Rookie season with OKC, a good team. He was second in the year in rookie of the year voting. 14.1 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.3 assists. Minutes virtually the same in his second season, 30 to 31. But his shot attempts went up from 10.6 to 14. His three-point shooting went up in percentage from 36 to 43. His points per game, as a result, went up from 14.1 to 19.1. And now he is part of a big three in Oklahoma City. You said him right away, Brady. Like, is that the model for Hawkes this season?
Yeah, I think it's just a similar jump. The issue is, like, to Alex's point before, like, he's not going to have Jalen Williams volume just because he's a starter. He's a second or third option on that team. Like, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But, like, being a wing player, just a similar type of style, a similar type of impact, like, he feels like the type of jump. Like, you just mentioned it. What was it? 14 to 19 points per game. Like, I don't know if he's making a 5 points per game jump. And the other thing here is this. When I say Hyman's going to be more featured and have, like, still see a points per game jump, I don't think it's like he's having a 4 field goal attempts a game jump. Like, I think it's going to be more, he's going to be slightly more efficient from three. Maybe he gets to the line a little bit more. And it's just about just making things easier on himself that we talked about a ton, where he, like, finds the right switches, where he isn't just always, like, hunting down, like, a 6'10 guy trying to back him down. Like, all that stuff added in is where you're going to see the jump. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, making, like, okay, he's just taking this many more shots a game. Because he's not the type of player. Like, he's not, like, I'm just going to go get mine type of player consistently. Like, he wants to set up an offense. He finds the open man. He draws stiff for defenders. But I think the Jalen Williams play style and the jump and just, like, the media around him, like, the attention that Jalen Williams got heading into his second season, like, it was partly because Thunder were winning and they were at the top of the West, but I think a lot of people just respected his game because those type of wing players just gain a lot of respect around the NBA. And Jaime's the same way. He got a ton of respect in his rookie season. I just think it's similar. I think he could play a similar role, especially if the three ball's falling. The two things he talked about, the three ball's falling, and if he's defending at a higher level, and I thought he was defending at a pretty decent level to start the last season before the injury, like, there's a legit jump there. So that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know if the points per game will be the leading factor. I don't know if the award, him being in the Sixth Man of the Year award, which it could happen, I don't know if that's going to be what it is. But I think his impact for this specific team and the energy that he'll provide, because as much as we talk about, like, they don't have a lot new, Terry's going to have to provide a lot of the energy because he's just the newest thing. He's like the shiny new toy to some degree because we didn't even get to see him in the playoffs. And Jaime. And Jovic as well, but it's different for a guy heading into his second season. So I think Jalen Williams is an interesting one, but I think the impact's going to be there off the bench. He's going to kind of be the energizer.
Would that be, I mean, if he's Jalen Williams, I mean, they've got something. There's another guy here, Alex, that I looked at just because they have a lot of respect for each other. And I talked to this guy when he came in with Denver last year, which was Christian Braun, who has not put up the numbers that Hawkes has, but it was similar in the fact, and this is what I talked to him about, that he came in as an older rookie and made a contribution to a good team, in that case, a championship team, right away. And he didn't get the additional starts in his second season, so his points, he played all 82. His points went from 4.7 to 7.3. His shot attempts went from 4 to 6. Hawkes has already gone past that. But now he's probably going to be a starter in Denver because they've lost
KCP. He's probably going to have that jump this year.
He's going to have the pop. And then he's going to be a most improved candidate probably because that's how it works. You end up getting the minutes and all that. But there's some similarity in their games in terms of the way that they approach things. They both played for big programs in college. Is there anybody else here? I'm looking at the rest of this list because there were some guys who – who really dipped in their second season, actually. Like, I don't think Walker Kessler had quite the impact in his second year that he had in his first. He was drafted 22nd, right? Like, some guys fall off. And then you had another guy like Andrew Nembhard, who was drafted 31st, who definitely popped this past season. Like, that was – I mean, he became – still playing behind Halliburton. And, again, his numbers were, like, the same, 9.5 down to 9.2. But his shooting percentage went from 44 to 49. His three-point percentage, 35 to 36.
The big production in the playoffs.
Big production in the playoffs, and then also production in the Olympics, too, where he played well for Canada off the bench. Honestly, he played in a different situation. He played more than Halliburton did, who he plays behind in Indiana. Is there any other sort of anybody else before we close here that you think?
Not really, just because I think, you know, we mentioned the Jalen Williams one before the show started, and I mentioned that it feels like he's been in the league longer than two seasons, and so it's kind of similar to what Brady was talking about before, where like Jaime kind of has that value, I guess. It feels like he's like his game is one that, you know, it didn't feel like he had a rookie season, right? Even though he hit a rookie wall there after the injury and all that, and the role kind of went down a little bit. His game feels very mature. The fact that he played, you know, in the select team and stood out. You know, we got to see him in summer league. Like, it's felt like he's been in the league for a while already. And so I think they share that quality there. But other than that, you know, I do think, you know, I'm completely with Brady when it comes to, I think he's going to have, like, just a more consistent role as far as, you know, the bench unit. And maybe we're wrong here. Like, who knows? Maybe the starting lineup is different than we think. The rotation is different than we think. But I feel the same way. I think it just makes too much sense. Like, you have so much scoring upside with him. He's obviously good right now, and with the, you know, the roster, the way that you have it, like, you just need to find a way to get more, right? Especially, like, if you don't think your defense is going to be, like, top five, top seven, maybe it's still going to be top half, right? But if you don't expect it to be quite as good, and you want improvements in the offense, this is the type of stuff you got to do. And I think I'm anticipating that they will. I think he's going to have a bigger load, and it's going to be like Brady said. It doesn't mean he's taking a bunch more shots, but he's just going to have a more consistent, you know, like, role of what to expect, what type of plays are going to be run for him, you know, who he's going to be playing with, how many minutes he's going to play, even though guys are going to be in and out like always. I think that having a consistent role is going to help him a lot, because I think that was part of what kind of hurt him last season, was at the same time almost as the groin stuff, was his role got changed with the Terry thing. They're going to have a training camp to figure it out. They're going to have a whole season to figure it out. And that's, you know, his role in all this is going to be a big part of it. I think he's going to have a big year, and it may not be like a 4 or 5 points per game increase, but I think the impact is going to be improved. I think that the two way, you know, ability is going to be there. I think the 3-point shot is going to look a little better. And so it's not going to be a huge leap, but it's going to feel like, okay, he's here. You know what I mean? Like, we've got a second year of him, and it's, I think it's going to be better than the first.
Yeah. And the big question will be, if the other guy is here the year after this, because that changes the entire dynamic here. If Jimmy's not here beyond this season, in part, it may be because there's an expectation that Jaquez can take some of that role. So we'll see what he's ready for this season. All right, thanks to our sponsors, c-armandstaffing.com, Prize Picks. Use the code 5, FIVE, and we'll probably podcast on that "there are only two guaranteed starters" thing. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.